my kids will look at me and go, you're not the same dad.
Yep.
As far as a grandfather, right? So yes. They'll look at their child and go, the man you know as your grandpa is not the dad I knew. Thank goodness.
Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Shire. Today, we are joined by Mike Forrester, a man's transformation coach and host of the Living Fearless Today. Mike helps men break generational patterns, confront fear, anger, shame, and old family wounds, and become more present with their kids as husbands and fathers. Mike, welcome to Live Your Best Marriage Today.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate being here to chat and help fathers.
Yes. Mike, many men promise themselves that they will never become like the father who hurt them, abandoned, controlled, or disappointed them. But when pressure comes, what they hear is the same tone coming out of their own mouth. They see fear or distance in the people that they love and realize that patterns from their childhoods are following them into adulthood. Today, I want to talk to you about how men can confront the pain they inherited, stop passing it to their children, and also in their marriages, and become husbands and fathers their families can trust.
Oh, totally. Because if I'm the same person who I was back then, I'm doing something wrong, Pessa. If we're not growing, then what is the purpose of time and our experiences? I better hope that I'm not turning out the same thing with the same perspectives without using the experiences that have gone on in that time frame.
And using them and looking back and you're like, I could have done this different. Oh. I could have done this differently, which sounds very easy to say, but it's very hard because you're admitting that you are wrong.
That was so hard, Pessa, on a couple different levels. That was the hard thing. Yes. One, from the childhood experiences I grew up with, admitting you were wrong was like detrimental. You don't do that stuff. You're always right. Yeah. You're a man. You're not wrong. Dude, if I was doing things right, I was destroying my family around me. And it's like, okay, this is not the end result I want. So why am I getting this if I'm being right? And so looking at that and just being willing, instead of the way I was brought up, was if you asked questions, you were a failure. If you failed, you were a failure. And man, I played so small in life because I didn't want to fail. I already felt that in my core. It was like, what's wrong with me? I felt lost. All I felt was anger. And it was, you can feel anger. That's the one emotion as a man you can feel. But don't show too much. And it was horrid as far as I knew things were off, but I didn't know what was off. And I sure as heck didn't know how to fix it. Man, I wish we would ask more questions and admit when it's like, I don't have the answer. Hey, who do I know that I can go to? It would save a whole lot of heartache.
A whole lot of heartache. It's I like this because we just started the podcast without even the intro. I like you just...
You're easy to talk with, Pessa.
Yes, I like that. We just literally started the whole thing. And just before even we get started, I just want to let you know, I had a friend who was telling me that on the same vein as you were talking, his dad was always drunk. So one day they were migrant workers. So they were out in the field and his dad was drunk as usual.
Yeah.
And everybody knew, but I guess that was just normal. So he was like 10 or 12 around that age. And he told his dad, you need to stop drinking. Okay. He's like, I don't know what got into me, but I told my dad he needs to stop drinking. And he said, his dad looked at him, you don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. And the whooping he got that day, he will never forget.
Yeah.
But the idea that he could tell his dad what to do, the truth is the dad was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But the idea that the kid could tell him was not appropriate. But now things have turned around, and now dads are getting to a point now we are being taught to be okay being told, even by kids, you know what, because they can have a perspective that we might not even have on the issue. Yeah.
I would love to tell you that I have always responded in the way that was safe to my kids. And I'd be absolutely lying to both of us if I did that. Because much like that dad, I had my pride. My pride was fragile. And it was like I already didn't feel like I was worthy. I knew that I didn't come to the table with the skills that I wish I had. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you equipped to be a dad? No. But here you are. You have four children and you're a dad and you don't feel equipped. It's like, nope, not in the least. And so my pride was fragile. And so to have my children come to me and say, hey, dad, you losing your temper, that really hurt my feelings. Or, hey, if you got a problem, just come talk to me, dad. Dude, I didn't take that. It was an affront to who I was. It was not a sign of respect to the role that I was in. I know that sounds pathetic, and it is pathetic, but when you're in that position, you don't have the wherewithal or the understanding to be able to go like, hey, maybe I'm not doing this right. Let me try it differently. You're doing the best you can with what you have and what you know. And that's where, man, Tessa, I swore growing up, I would never be like my parents. I would never treat my children like I was treated. You want to guess exactly what I went and did? I was the mirror image of my parents with my children. Guess how much they trusted me when I'm angry? I'm not the place that they're coming to talk to. They go to mom, right? They go to mom because mom is the place where they can have that conversation and share their insecurities and celebrate and ask questions, not to dad. I felt lost in everything else. So I'm not safe. I haven't built that trust. Dude, it wasn't until I ended up stopping and evaluating where I was and who I was that things began to change. But I didn't have it figured out. And that was part of it, being willing to admit that, hey, I need to work on me. And then I need to discover how to be the healthy parent, like the dad that I wanted growing up. How do I become that man? Because at this point in time, I'm doing no different to my children than I received when I was in their position.
And I think just being okay starting over, I think that's shows how big a man you are, that because most of us will feel like it's too late, too much water under the bridge. Maybe I'll do this for my grandkids, but for it's over. And there's that feeling like it's too late. What do you tell somebody who's in that situation right now thinking it's too late? I like what Mike is telling me, but yeah.
It is only as late as we allow it. So I appreciate you saying, hey, that was brave. At the point that I did that, I was desperate. I didn't feel like I had another choice. I hated my life. I loathed who I was. I didn't even like me. Why would my kids like me? And so it was one of those of absolute desperation of something's got to change, because I couldn't continue doing life as me, much less letting my kids experience what they were from me.
Yes.
And so it's never too late, in that the change has to come from us and for us first. If I look at my wife and I go, I'm going to change for my marriage, right? I'm going to work on my marriage. Dude, I'm doing things totally out of order. That's like trying to put a roof on a house that you haven't even built a frame on. It's just not going to happen, because I'm still the part that is almost like cutting the foundation, cutting the bracing out of the house. When I haven't worked on me, you can't build a house. So it's not, and I'll say this as an aside, because this was one of my huge excuses, was when she changes, yes, I'll change. I'm sure you never heard that phrase, right?
Yeah. Why should I change first?
Yes.
I'm not the only one who's doing this.
Oh, man. You sound like you're coming right out of my head from those conversations. It was like, I'm right. Why should I have to change? And it was very much trying to justify my position. And yes, if you work hard enough, you can justify it. Is it correctly justified? No, not in the least. And it's like, are those things that will move the needle? Yes, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with looking at your children, with looking at your wife and going, hey, I want to be a better man so that I can be the better husband and be the secure father. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you put it dependent upon that, when things don't work out in the marriage, or your kids decide, hey, I'm out of here, Dad. I'm 18. I'm done. I don't want a relationship with you because you've been so hurtful. Then you're just going to go back to right where you've been. And that life that you've lived is going to be where you end up. And that's not at all okay.
No. But now, because if it's dependent on them, you will always say, hey, I tried, but look, I tried to change, but they did not appreciate. So I'm just going to continue living how I've been living.
Yeah. You will find excuses. There's never a shortage.
Yes.
But the thing is, you can separate yourself from everybody else in life.
Yes.
The one person you can't separate from is yourself. And so keeping that in mind, working on yourself for yourself is the, man, it's just the truest sense of what you're doing. Right? You are going to win betting on yourself, investing in yourself. Yes. It pays dividends. Now, I will in full disclosure say this, man. It doesn't mean that your wife is going to forget the hurt that has occurred over the years leading up to that. It's not going to be week one, hey, I did this and I stayed true for a week, and that should erase everything else that came before that.
Man, the 18 years.
Yeah. Even if it was 18 months, if you think about it, hey, go back to, we'll just say, let's go back to elementary school. If you had gotten beat up for lunch money for, let's say, 10 weeks, just because somebody lets off for a week and goes, hey, I'm sorry, you know what, let me buy you a soda, you're still going to be frustrated. That lack of trust is still there despite what's in front of you. And you're going, I don't trust this change to be lasting. What are you trying to do to manipulate me or the situation? And so it's got to be a genuine change. And dude, I went through that. It hurts to the core.
Yes.
I started changing. And my wife was the first one to believe me that it was genuine and authentic and not just a, let's remove the pressure cooker tension that's in the house, that's in the relationship. And so she was the first one to trust me. My children.
Wow, she's a keeper.
Oh, dude, I was way out of my league. I didn't realize it. I don't know how I got picked, but I'm keeping her. I keep her locked in her room. No, I'm just kidding. But for our children, who I was, all they knew. So they're sitting there looking at me going like, okay, you're different, but how long are you going to stay different?
And be different.
So the trust took longer to build. And each of them, they're all their own individuals. They each had to make their own choice. Am I going to trust Dad in who Dad is now showing me? And I was still growing in that consistency, right? I'm changing who I've been, which changes my actions, the word I speak. Man, when stuff would build up at work, or I felt insecure, or the bills are late, any of that tension that comes from adulting just comes and rears its face. And it's like, there was a chance I was backsliding into that old behavior. It's like, there's dad and rearing his head. And this, I knew it wasn't going to last. It took time. And it broke my heart because I'm like, I'm a new man. I'm really working on this. But you got to give grace, because if you were in their place, it's not the intention, but it's the actual life. And what's going on is what the impact is, not the intention. So when you start making change, be understanding and give grace, not just to yourself, but to your family, because it's up to each of them to change. And again, this is why I say, don't make it dependent upon them that your change occurs, because there's too many people that you could look at and go, the mailman didn't accept me in this way. It can be extreme. And you just go, I'm going to be this man. This is how I'm going to show up.
Yes.
And
so through this whole process, how can you, what's the difference between explaining where your behavior came from and also taking responsibility for changing it?
So I relied upon my past to justify the way I behaved.
Yeah.
Even though I swore I wasn't going to do it, and yet I'm there doing it, I used it as the crutch to justify why I was acting the way I was doing, because it was like, I went through all this stuff. I had a rough life. This now makes it the reason I'm behaving the same way.
Yes.
It doesn't make the past okay, right?
Okay.
What you went through. And it's not justifying it. It's not approving it. It's acknowledging it. And regardless of what you went through, now it is our responsibility to change. It would be much like if I went as a kid and I went skiing and I broke my leg and I didn't set the bone. When does it become my responsibility to take care of the injury and the pain and everything that's not in place to have a healthy leg, right? If I want to just look and go, this is why I walk this way because of this injury. I'm an adult. I'm 26, let's say.
Yes.
Would I go through the rest of my life with the limp and the pain and everything else that's accompanying a broken and messed up leg just because it wasn't done correctly before? No way.
Especially if there's a new technology now that is supposed to help, or new understanding, new consciousness, new awareness that can help you change your style of walking.
Yeah. It doesn't make what's gone on okay, but it becomes a certain point where it's like, what am I going to do so that this doesn't become the thing that impacts my life all the way through?
Yes.
Like I said, I loathed who I was. I hated it. If I could have gotten out of my own body, I would have. It's like, let's do a body switcheroo kind of thing. But the case is, you're stuck with you. Whether you like it or not, your reality is, okay, this went on. I'm here and I have these experiences. I have these results. I have these beliefs. What am I going to do? Who do I want to be? And how am I going to change it? Because I didn't want to stay angry all the time. I didn't want to continue feeling lost, worthless, unwanted. I wanted so much more, but it's not going to happen unless I take action to do something about it. And the only one that was copping out, that didn't believe that it was available for me, was me.
Yes.
Because go ahead.
It goes back to you.
Yeah. If I looked at you and you and I had the same exact experiences and everything, and I go, you know what? Yes, that better life is available to you. Great, right? Makes sense. Yes. If I looked at myself and the same question was asked, I would have said, no way. Nope, I'm not worthy. It's not available to me. I had a long list of how to put myself down lower and why I deserve to stay there. And none of it was true, but it was what I believed. And our beliefs about who we are and everything like that are what keep us imprisoned and why we continue behaving and thinking and just being who we are and have been, when there's so much more available to us and we don't have to pass this on to our kids. So,
yes. And then, so at that time when you are changing and now you are becoming a different person, so you are moving up, how can you, so at that time, how can a wife be able to raise concerns about without her husband starting to experience that, oh, you know what, this is just another proof that I'm a failure. And then you go back down again.
It is walking through a minefield.
Okay.
So each of us have certain things that are going to set us off, right? My wife could not at the time have brought that up with me because I was so insecure. It's one of those of, she didn't say anything because she knew if she did, she was going to set me off. And then it was just like a nuclear bomb went off in the house and everybody else is going to pay for it. As I became more open to failing, shall we say, because I shared about feeling like a failure.
Yes.
So as I got more desperate, it was then one of those of, okay, let me listen more. Was it easy? No, not in the least. I was still working with the same insecurities at that point.
Yeah.
But I will say this, in taking the steps to be able to hear my wife's concerns and her fears and everything that she is seeing from her perspective, that then created a different relationship for she and I, because she's now not having to, one, play small, because when she's successful, her husband is insecure and sees her as a threat. But she's also then able to share what's on her heart without being belittled, right? She's able to be feel seen and heard and not dismissed or told that she's wrong.
You're right.
The only one that can control that is the man. As much as I would love to say, I controlled my kids, I controlled my wife at the time, let's be clear.
Yes.
I'm not controlling anybody but me. And I wasn't controlling myself very well, to be honest.
Yes.
But what can the wife do? Try and set it up. I would say if there's anything the wife can do is to set it up in a situation where the man is feeling the most secure and successful. So don't pick it on the day, right? If I'm going into work and I've had a very stressful day, that is not the day to broach it. When there's been something that's gone on, hey, at work, I got accolades, right? I got approved for doing something at work, whatever. When I'm in my best mood, that was the best time for my wife to approach me.
To bring it up, yes.
Yeah.
And so that there's a lot of people will say, you know what, that is basically she is managing his emotions. What would you respond to somebody saying, you know what, I don't want to be the person to manage your emotions?
Is it managing emotions? Yeah, to a certain point. Because when you're coming from a situation where you haven't been allowed to have emotions or to share them or to even understand them correctly, he doesn't have the tools. I know I didn't.
You're right.
It's like it wasn't until I understood that shame wasn't anger, that joy didn't mean that something bad wasn't going to happen and I had to be vigilant against you know, the other shoe falling, that that sadness wasn't anger. Everything funneled into anger, and that was the only thing I knew how to experience.
Thought about.
Yeah, it was the only thing I knew how to experience. But it was also like, hey, you can't let your anger get to be too much or it's out of check. But
so through
go ahead.
So through this whole process, How did you start knowing that this pain starting to affect the people you loved? Because if a couple is going through this, they need to, I think they need to know that, okay, now his pain, or some, a guy listening to us right now, if they can know that, okay, what they felt as their own pain, now it's actually starting to affect other people in who they love. How did you know, how did you recognize that this is actually affecting the people I love?
Part of it was I began to hear my dad's voice coming out of me. And okay. So the phrases that my father would say to me when he was upset or disappointed or when I didn't perform properly, those same words were coming out of my mouth to my children. And I was like, oh, this is not good. I buried it for a while because I was like, nah, I don't want to deal with this. I didn't know how to deal with it at the time.
Yes.
But the thing was, as I began to look at it and go, okay, my children are innocent in this. Do I want them to grow up with the same experiences that I did? No. And I don't think any dad wants that for their children. Intentional or unintentional, man, we want the best for our children. So it's not like you're setting out with the goal, I'm going to hurt my kids today. That's not, I don't think that crosses a father's mind for an instant.
Yes.
But the thing is, if you're looking at your children and you're truly going, how are they doing? How am I interacting with them? What's our relationship look like? It may not be where you think it is. And then it's, what do I do with what I'm seeing? Maybe you go to your wife and you talk to her and go, hey, this is what I'm seeing. If you've got another guy friend that you're really close with that isn't going to say, man up, just ignore it, whatever. Somebody that's going to have an actual conversation with you, right? Rather than, let's just go medicate, have a beer, hit around a golf, don't worry about it, they'll get over it.
It's always their problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's easy to dismiss and deflect. Accepting it and taking responsibility for it, that's a whole different ball of wax. That's where you really separate and go, okay, now I'm stepping into being a true man and one that is going to set a different example, because you've got to think, if you look about on social media right now, there is a definite move where children are like, I was raised in a toxic environment. I had a lot of childhood pain, right? I have no desire to be in relationship with you. And so they're separating. And your children may be 10, but that means you have 8 more years until they're 18. And then what decision are they going to make at that point? Do you want your children in your life? If you do, then you need to start taking some action that ensures that you don't stay the same person you are. Or you can already, it doesn't take a crystal ball to figure out where things are going to go.
No.
And that was the thing. That was the path that I was on. Was my kids, they had every reason to part ways. To just be like, Dad, you treated me so horribly. When they began to see that, the changes were genuine and it was not my intention to treat them in the way I had been, then there began to have different conversations. My son has told me, I thought you were an authoritarian. Like, I ruled with an iron fist. He's like, I played video games to stay away, to stay out of your view and to not set you off. And all my kids handled it differently, but it was the same source of managing me, but they each had their own way of doing it.
Yes.
And so no father wants to be managed by their children in that kind of a situation.
Yes. And what do you think, where does forgiveness, like forgiving your dad, does it play a role in you getting better? Forgiveness?
Oh, man. How much time do we have here? That was a fundamental thing. Because in all honesty, I was bitter. I hated my parents because of what I went through and what they did. Now, when I started looking at it and understanding that if my parents and what they did they have those intentions to hurt me? Probably not. They were reeling from what they grew up with, same way I was. And if I wanted to be judged by my children and forgiven and had the relationship based on my intentions, dude, that's a hard one to sell, that I'm judging somebody else by their actions and I want to be judged by intentions. It doesn't make sense. It's not equal, right? So it wasn't a quick thing. It was such a slow journey in forgiving. Understand, when I say I forgave them, it didn't mean that I forgot what went on, and it didn't mean that what went on was okay, because I put boundaries in place to protect myself and my family from my parents. But if I didn't forgive them, the forgiveness wasn't for them. And so the anger and the bitterness was holding me hostage in my growth and how I saw things and was acting. And so it wasn't something I did for their benefit, right? It was one of those of, I did it for my freedom, for my quality of life, not to acknowledge that, hey, what they did was okay. Again, it wasn't, it's not, and forgiveness is not saying that what went on was okay, but it was more of, I'm not going to hold on to this anger, because this anger then leaks out into me. And then that anger in me is what my wife and children are catching. And I didn't want that to continue. So that forgiveness was something that was very foundational, and it was painfully slow. And it reaped so many rewards, because it's like, the bitterness isn't just a mask you wear, man. It's almost, if we look at the movie Venom, you know how the creature totally changes him when he comes out, right? It is something that is always present. That anger, that bitterness is always present, even when you keep it down. But the problem is, when you don't have the energy, you're not in a place of having it together, so to speak, that stuff comes out and your family is the one that usually catches it. So forgiveness was something that was crucial. I wouldn't be where I'm at with my family if I didn't forgive my parents.
Okay, that's really good. For a man listening to us right now, maybe he's driving and he's thinking about, should I do tonight? He knows that his family is afraid of him. He's afraid of his anger. And they are also very tired of his emotional distance and drama. What should he do tonight to start changing the path that he has put his family in through?
Understand that it's not going to happen overnight, either for us to change as men, nor for it to rebuild that trust. We talked about trust earlier being a long time and in an individual personal aspect, right? But I would say tonight is really take an honest evaluation. What did I go through? Am I seeing that same stuff being what I do? Yeah. You're exhausted. I get it. You feel lost, fatigued. Dude, that stuff just drains the heck out of you. But taking an honest inventory of how you're thinking, how you're behaving, how it's impacting your family, and just giving yourself space to go, okay, I'm aware of this stuff, but maybe there's more stuff. If you're in a place where you can talk to your wife and children, ask them. Obviously, if you have a two-year-old, you're going to get some weird results, right? So I wouldn't really go there. But if you've got a child that's 10, 14 years old, that's got some understanding of what's going on, hey, I love you with all of my heart, and I know it doesn't always come across that way. What is it that I do or say that really hurts when I do it to you? I'm not looking for to make it okay, anything like that. I just want to know from you, what is it that I'm doing that really hurts you and that I'm the one doing. Your wife, I'm sure, will be able to tell you what's going on in that aspect. It depends on how long it's gone on and how much anger there is, if it's a safe thing to do. But she will probably also have an idea with the kids. Wives are, for the most part, very attentive and aware of what's going on in the family, even when we're not.
Yes.
So if the relationships are there and the age is there, that's a next step. But I would start with today, then go to yesterday.
Yes.
Move to a week and just make a list. And this is not, don't get this in your head that you're broken, you're flawed, this can't be fixed. It's a blueprint that you received, that you're working from. And just like any other blueprint, it can be unlearned and a healthy one implemented. It takes time, but it can be done. And you're the one driving what happens. So just give yourself grace and be aware of what's going on. And that will pay dividends right there in making that transformation.
Thank you very much. So Mike, where can other men find you so that you can help them transform their lives?
I would say that, you know what, if this has spoken to a guy that's struggling with that anger, that I have a resource that I made that I wish was available when I was going through this. So if you go to whatsbehindyouranger.com, take the assessment. It's going to ask you a couple different questions in there that are freeform text. Write it down. Get this stuff out. But go to what.com, take the assessment, and get an understanding of what the anger looks like, because we're used to seeing anger as the explosive Hulk side. Anger doesn't always show up that way, but it will hurt whatever form it is. And if this has resonated, that makes sense. I'd love to just make that available to the listeners here that you've got. So
thank you very much, Mike. And we really enjoyed having you today here at the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. Folks, if you have any issues, especially regarding anger in your family, hesitate reaching out to Mike, because this is something that he has gone through. He has been able to overcome, and he can be able to help you so that your family can actually get the best version of you as their dad. Yeah. Guys, until next time, bye and God bless. Bye.